That's correct. Today is Shul 2016. Today is Shira from Shlima Farah, Eli David Ben Malka, Rachel Bela Vaskittel, Lamed, Sivan, Tavshanayan Vav, Shehi Rosh Chodesh, Tammuz, correct. Okay, yes, the year is moving along. So we are in Perek Mem Vav, and once again, Perek, a little difficult to find halachic things, but there's two halachic sugyas. I'll tell you the other one that the Minchas Asher talks about, and that is the issue of Hefsik B'Kriya Shema, that this is the one permitted to interrupt Kriya Shema for any purpose. It seems like Yaakov perhaps would have been allowed to interrupt his Kriya Shema in order to greet his son, who was the Melech, right? That might be permitted, but anyways, we'll leave that for the next time we go through and get to Halacha Day and Perek Mem Vav and Bereishis. But today, rather, we'll cover the very first pasuk and the very first Rashi. The pasuk says, "Vayizbatz vachim lilkei aviv Yitzchak," that he offered sacrifices to his father, aviv Yitzchak. So yesterday we explained the Ramban why it's specifically Yitzchak, the idea of midas hadin, and he had to focus on Yitzchak at this point. But remember, Rashi had an interesting point. Rashi says, "Chayiv adam b'chavod aviv yoser michavod zikno." That a person has to honor their father before they honor their grandfather. Therefore, he mentions the God of Yitzchak rather than the God of Avram. Right? Pretty simple, Rashi. What is the halachic? What halachic issue can one deduce from that Rashi? One sees this Rashi. Right? A person is required to honor their father. More than their grandfather. Therefore, he mentions Yitzchak, he doesn't mention Avraham. So, what halakha concept can we learn out here? That there's a concept called honoring one's grandfather, right? That seems pretty obvious from this Rashi. This Rashi, if you ask Rashi on it here, is there a mitzvah of Kibud Av? The answer is absolutely. However, if you take out that page of Shulchan Aruch that I pointed out to you, so right in the middle of the page, the black letters in the middle is a Shulchan Aruch, and you'll see going from the top, it says Yud Zayin, then Yud Ches, Yud Tes, Chaf, Chaf Aleph, Chaf Beis, Chaf Gimel, Chaf Dalet. Right, you see that on the right side. If you go to number Chaf Dalet, second from the bottom in the Shulchan Aruch, and the black in the middle, right, what does he say there? So the black is Chayv Adam L'Chavir Chavav. A person is obligated to honor their brother-in-law, their father-in-law. I'm sorry, what am I talking about? One is permitted to honor their father-in-law. Okay, as difficult as that may be. Comes the Rama, what? Comes father-in-law, yes. So just as you are obligated to honor your father, you are obligated to honor your spouse's father. Comes the Rama. The Rama is the Rashi script. That's the way it is always there. The Mechaber is Rav Yosef Karo, writing for Svardim. The Rama is writing for Ashkenazim, or adding in his ideas. He says, Yesh Omrim, De'ein Adam Chayev Chavod Avi Aviv. There are those that say that one is not obligated to honor your grandfather. And who does he quote? He gives you the source there. Maharik Shorish Mem Dalet. That you're not obligated to. The Eino Nirali, says the Rama, I don't agree. Ella the Chayev Chavod Aviv, Yosir Mi Chavod Avi Aviv. All I say is you're obligated in your father's honor more than your father's father. And you're obligated in Kibud Av more than Kibud Avi Av. More, right, that's and what is the Rama and what is his source there? And he says Viraya Mimidrash Gabe Vayizvatzvachim, and his proof is our Rashi. This Rashi, who's really quoting a Medrash, the Medrash says this idea, and that is therefore required. If you can look in. Right? So on the left side of the page is the Taz. So you see the bottom page of the Taz, I mean the one running along the side of the Shulchan Aruch, there's the Taz, and you see at the last or the second to last line there's a chaf with parentheses around it. Right? So that's a notation to in the Rama. Right? In the Rama it says the Chayav Chavod Aviv. So here's the Taz jumps in and says, Kain Perish Rashi B'chumash. Right? That's what Rashi says in Chumash. Right? Al Vayizvach Zachim Leilukei Aviv Yitzchak. That you offered karbanos to Hashem, the God, the Father of Yitzchak, v'tema al deya harishona shu maharik. And I don't understand the first opinion, the opinion of the maharik, the nela mimenu perish Rashi b'chumish, that he couldn't remember that, or it was hidden from him, a simple Rashi and Chumash. I mean, everybody knows every Rashi and Chumash. How did the maharik not know this Rashi and Chumash? So before you go there, says the, if you notice in the beginning of that Taz, there was a little asterisk and a parenthesis. You see that? Asterisk and parentheses. In the beginning of that pas that we just read, there's chaf, and this is b'chaber aviv yoter, period, and then they right. Yeah. So that I call that a star and a half moon. So that sends you to the nekudas hakesef. What is the nekudas? This you just have to know. It doesn't actually have a star and a half moon there. The nekudas hakesef is second from the top on the right. Right, the top comment is the bir hagola, which might be cut off on your page anyways, and then comes the nekudas hakesef. The nekudas hakesef, just so we know our geography around the page, the nekudas hakesef is the same person as the shach. The shach or Shaptai Rappaport. The Rappaport families today that you'll meet is a descendant of the shach. So the shach wrote the shach as a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, and he wrote the nekudas hakesef to answer questions on the Taz, or to ask to attack the Taz. Or to defend himself against the Taz. The Shach and the Taz.
Exactly.
The Shach and. They contemporaries?
Yeah.
Yes, the Shach and Taz were contemporaries, but the Taz is about 20, 30 years older than the Shach. And there are some rumors out there, there are some stories out there about how the Taz didn't take the Shach seriously enough when the Shach first went to meet him. The Shach was like 18 years old, and he went to meet the Taz, and the Taz didn't take him seriously. And there's, if one looks in Nefesh Harab, which is Rav Schechter's Sefer about Rav Soloveitchik, so he says that's the reason in yeshivas we paskin like the Shach against the Taz. In fact, my yeshiva, the tradition is almost to learn the shach more exclusively than the Taz. The Rav would teach the shach much more than he would the Taz. That's in the Sorah. So anyways, the shach also wrote the Nekudas HaKesef. So if you notice, right in the middle of the Nekudas HaKesef, it says, Sham Taz Sifkatan Chaf, King Perish Rashi. It says, V'hu Medrish Gam, I'm not sure what the Mem Shin stands for. It's also a Medrish. So Vitema Aldeya Rishona, and he says, and I don't understand the first opinion, right? Hainu Kushya Rama Darki Moshe. He says, I don't understand what the Taz's problem is. Why does the Taz write that? That's exactly what the Rama asked, right? The Rama has the same source that the Taz has. I mean, the Rama says, and my proof is from this Medrash. So comes the Taz and says, I don't understand why the Ma'arik didn't know a clear Rashi and Chumash. Well, who's Rashi quoting? Rashi is just quoting the Medrash. So what is the Taz adding that the Ramah didn't have? That's the comment that the Nekudas Kesef has. Venusha Mari Makum Shulchan Aruch V'Le'edati Machirsh V'Zeh V'Efshar Mashvili D'Perish Rashi B'Chumash Ragil Yosemi Medrash. And perhaps what he's just telling you is that a comment in Rashi is more obvious or more famous than a Medrash. I mean, even though the Medrash predates Rashi by a couple thousand years, a little more than 1,000 years, and even though the Medrash is more authoritative than Rashi, more people learn Rashi than learn Medrash. Right. So that's what the Taz's problem is.
I think you can pull down straight from the Chumash that you should not read very far. Because doesn't it say several times where it refers to somebody as their son?
It says Lokei Avi Avraham and Lokei Avi Yitzchak. Right? Is that what you're referring to?
No, I'm actually saying that it's like a person in the Chumash, and they talk about, an Avraham is his son.
They call him his son,
and then the commentaries say that.
Yeah, we refer to Bnei Avraham. Yeah, but it might be deceiving. I mean, that's not necessarily proof that there's a mitzvah of kavod. Right? No one's going to say that the father and grandfather are considered the same. So is there a mitzvah of kavod or not? That's the...
It's almost like he's the father.
Okay, So hold on. So we'll see. The Ma'arik wasn't a dummy. All right, the Ma'arik did know that there was a Rashi in Chumash. And we'll see what the possibilities for the Ma'arik are. But just to... The Nekudas HaKesef I find very interesting was he says, even though the Ramah quoted the Medrash, the Taz felt the need to quote Rashi because the Rashi is more famous. And it raises the question, how did the Taz not know this? And he adds in, because everybody learns Rashi, plus you're required to do that for Shnai Mikra V'Yecha Targum. He says there are those poskim that say this Nekudas HaKesef, very deep in Hilchos Kivud Aveim, says that even though Shnai, the idea of learning the parsha every week, which is based on the Gemara, that one has to be Maver Sedra and one has to pay Shnai Mikra V'Yecha Targum. So there are those that hold that Targum can be replaced by Rashi. So therefore, that raises the question even further: how could the Maharik not know this Rashi that seems to clearly indicate that one is required to honor one's grandfather, just like they're required to honor one's, perhaps not as much as the honor of the father, but one is required to honor the father.
In most laws, you usually have a hierarchical system.
Okay. So
all that.
Okay. Okay. So comes the. So what was he thinking? So the Maharik didn't know Rashi, and he knew this Medrash. What is the Maharik's Rayos though? So if you look also in that Ramah, there's bracketed block letters. So there was a bracketed Lamed Gimel right in the beginning of the Ramah. Then there's a bracketed Lamed Dalet. Right. So what does the bracketed block letters go to? So that goes to the Be'er HaGra. The Be'er HaGra is the Gra's, the Vilna Gaon's emendations on the Shulchan Aruch. Chances are these were never actually meant for print. These were like his personal notes that were in the size of his Shulchan Aruch, and they just got learned out. And it's very difficult to read, as we'll see right here. It doesn't actually quote what he's saying, he just quotes a source. He says, "Oh, look at the Gemara there," and yeah, right, yeah. And obvious, right? So this is a classic example of that. In Lamed Gimel, he says, "Yishomrim Makus Yud Beis Hamid Aleph Lo Kasha Habiv Novachuli Vayin Rashi Sham." Right. So what's he talking about? So you gotta figure out what in the world is he talking about in Daf Makus Yud Beis Hamid Aleph. So the truth is, and sometimes it's questionable what he's referring to on that Daf. But at least in this case, it's pretty obvious what he's referring to. There is a Gemara in Makus. Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph that talks about the mitzvah of Goel Hadam. What is the Goel Hadam? That if somebody accidentally kills somebody else, so the brother of the victim is permitted to chase the murderer, and he's chases him to the Yer Miklat, to the sanctuary city, as they're referred to today, right? He'll chase him to Philadelphia or another sanctuary city, and he'll be able to stay there until the Kohen Gadol dies, right? Gemara says has a conflict about two cases. What if a father kills their son? Right. So can the brother avenge the death of his brother by killing his father? Right. That's the question the Gemara has. Right. Dad accidentally kills Reuven. Can Shimon go and try to kill Dad, Yaakov? Right. Can he go ahead and do that? So Gemara seems to say no, but there's another indication that says yes, and the Gemara distinguishes and says, one is talking about killing one's father, and one is talking about killing one's grandfather. You're allowed to kill the father, and you're not allowed to kill the father, but you are allowed to kill the grandfather. You're allowed to chase the grandfather down, you're just not allowed to chase the father down. So, great, that's what the Gemara says there. So, that already indicates, perhaps, that there is no mitzvah of kibud by the grandfather, but Rashi clinches it, because Rashi there says, v'ein alai that one is not required to honor them like a son. That there is no mitzvah of kibud like a son has a mitzvah of kibud. So that's the Vilna Gaon is quoting as the source of the Maharik. Right? So Rashi seems to say, it's not 100% clear, because he says kibben, like a son. Maybe there is more. But at least there you have it. Something seems to indicate that there is no mitzvah of kavod. That's why the son would be permitted to chase down his grandfather to avenge his brother's death. So that's proof number one for the Maharik.
Where is that Rashi?
That Rashi is on the Gemara. No, it's not this Rashi. Right? Rashi is on the Gemara. Very good. Right, so it's not only, right, so that's the way to answer the Maharik would say, yeah, very good. I know that there's a Rashi in Chumash, but there's also a Rashi in the Gemara. There's another Rashi as well. If you look at the next Be'er HaGra, even though it's quoted on the other side, it says the Umi Gemara the Sota Mem Tes Amud Aleph Ra'il Maharik. There's also a proof in the Gemara in Sota Daf Mem Tes Amud Aleph. What is the Gemara Mem Tes Amud Aleph? So there it makes a comment that Rav Acha Bar Yaakov that he wanted from his Miben Bito, from his daughter's son. What we call one's grandson, he wanted from his daughter's son, Rav Yaakov, to get him something to drink. So Rav Yaakov responds to him saying, sorry, I'm busy right now, and I'm not going to be able to do it. And Rashi there says the same thing. Ve'ein alai l'chvadecha k'ben. I'm not required to honor you like one's son. So there, you see, that's a clear case of kibudav, applying to a grandfather. And the grandson says, no, I'm not interested. I'm not going to go ahead and do it. Now the Be'er HaGra says, "Venira li de la vi imo pater." Says the Gra that there's a difference, right? This case is the son of the maternal grandfather, right, as opposed to the paternal grandfather. And there's a difference. Why should there be a difference exactly? It's unclear to me. By the way, Maharsha on that Gemara also quotes that Lahalacha. He says, you see from here, there's no mitzvah of honoring one's father. So there you go. So you have two Rashis in the Gemara that seem to say black on white, there's no mitzvah of kivud grandfather, while Rashi and Chumash seems to say that there is a mitzvah of kivud father. Take a look back at your Shulchan Aruch sheets. And there's, you see the Gilyon Maharsha, towards the bottom of the, actually for you, I cut off the bottom of the page to make the words bigger. You're welcome. So I think the bottom on your page is the Gilyon Maharsha. You see that, the Gilyon Maharsha on the bottom right of the page? Right, so the
Gilyon...
What?
Well,
I had to fit it on a piece of paper, and I expanded it as much as I could to be on that piece of paper. So, who is the Gilyon Maharsha, by the way? Gilyon Maharsha is Shlomo Eger. That's Rav, I think Rav Akiva Eger's, I forget, son or grandson. I'm pretty sure his son, Rav Akiva Eger's son. Just trying to check here in the front to see if it says it. No. Yeah. Okay. So, anyways, so Gilyon Maharsha makes a comment on the very bottom line, of that section. He says, "Lefi anias daisi zehu b'chlal ein lamdin mehamedrash." Right, this is included in the rule that you're not allowed to paskin halachos from midrashim. Right? Even the lehepach, he said Rashi b'halacha. But when Rashi is making a comment on halacha, he seems to paskin the opposite way. In Perek Beis the Machlus Yud Beis Amar Al, the Yerukalach Gersim, the Mishum Hafi Ben Haben Nasago Adam Lezeknenu Mishum De, and I continue on the next page which you don't have Mishum De Eino Chayiv Al Kvoda. Right, from here we see that the grandson is not obligated based on the Gemara and Makos. So you have two Rashis that contradict each other. Which one wins when you have a commentary on the Gemara versus a Rashi on Chumash? Rashi and Gemara beats out Rashi and Chumash. Rashi's paskining about halakhic items, it wins out over when he paskins on non-halakhic items. So what's the Gemara Shah saying? He says, yeah, very good, there is a Medrash. We don't paskin that way. Why don't we paskin that way? Because we have one, at least one, perhaps two Gemaras that seem to go against that Medrash. Therefore, implying that there's not going to be the mitzvah of Kivud Avi. So says, that is the machlokas that exists within the Ramah. Yeah?
In traditional cultures, okay, I guess we consider this up to go across the board. The grandfather is honored in the culture more than the father. Right?
That might be.
Sometimes I believe halakha is going extra out of the ordinary.
So we
work it harder, really.
I mean, to honor a grandfather would be chukas hagayim, would be to be copying the non-Jews and therefore trying to go against that.
No, human nature, not just yeah.
Okay,
I don't know. We don't really expect our fathers to grow older.
Okay, it could be. Let's hold sociological commentary after we get the halakha out. Okay. So there is a commentary called the Bach. Just as there's a page like this, there's the precursor for the Shulchan Aruch. Was the Beis Yosef. Yosef Kara, before he wrote the Shulchan Aruch, wrote something called the Beis Yosef, which was a commentary on the Tur. Right, the page matches up. The Tur is in the middle, the Beis Yosef is on the inside, the Bach is on the outside. Right, and from the Beis Yosef, he wrote the Shulchan Aruch, the same person, Yosef Kara, he wrote the Shulchan Aruch as a review for the Beis Yosef. That's the way that it works out. We've given, at least 25 shirim on this at shuls between Mincha Marv over the last 6 years. So the Bach, in his comments on the tour, raises this Maharik and says, look, it could be that he has a few proofs from the Gemara on his side, but there's a few proofs that go against him as well. So number one is that that another pasuk in Chumash, which I thought what Bruce was referring to before, the pasuk tells us in Bereishis Chaf Ches Pasuk Yud Gimel 28:13, Ani Hashem Elokei Avram Avicha Belokei Yitzchak. Right, I am the God of Avram, your father, and the God of Yitzhak. So what does that seem to be saying? It seems to be implying that Avram is going to be judged like your father. Who's Hashem talking to? Yaakov. Right, so he's saying that Avram is your father, Yaakov. Right? Another, the Gemara Miseches Kedushin, talks about that the father is obligated to teach their grandson Torah. But that is an obligation that is imposed on the grandfather in the absence of a father. And he brings a couple of other proofs as well. He adds in the following concept that perhaps, and then he quotes from the Steich Chemed. The Steich Chemed was an encyclopedia that was written in the early 1800s. So that's not a simple thing to do, to write an encyclopedia without computers, right? But that's what he did. It's actually a halachic work in alphabetical order. It's about, 10 volumes that you'll buy it today. Still very usable. And the Seich Chemed talks about, in his section on Kibud Av, that there's an additional idea of Kibud Zikna. Why is that? Because included in honoring one's father is honoring your grandfather. As similarly to the Ramban, who writes in his comments on the Rambam Sefer Mitzvot, the Ramban says that one is obligated to honor one's older brother, one of the very important mitzvot of the Torah. One is obligated to honor one's older brother. Why? So that is considered an outtake from honoring one's father, right? One's parent appreciates when their sons are getting along. That's part of the idea of Achdus amongst Klal Yisrael, that our father appreciates when his children are getting along. So too the father appreciates it. So therefore, included in honoring one's father is honoring one's older brother to ensure the children are getting along. Says the Ramban, though. But what happens after the father dies? Mm-hmm. So if there's no mitzvah of Kibud Av anymore, perhaps the mitzvah of honoring one's brother falls away. Similarly to so he says perhaps that same possibility might exist here as well. That the Seich Chemed says that honoring one's grandfather is a form of honoring one's father, right? I have a mitzvah of honoring my father, and my father would very much expect me to honor his father as well. But once my father is out of the picture, so then perhaps the mitzvah of honoring one's grandfather falls away. So perhaps that's a distinction here, that according to the reasons that the Bach gives, that the father is the grandfather is defined as a father, so perhaps that's irrespective of whether the father is in the picture or not. Well, according to the Seich Chemed's picture, that it's connected to honoring one's parents, so then maybe if one parent is out of the picture, so then honoring one's grandfather doesn't play a role yet anymore either. Okay? So that's one possibility, is one idea. So we have the Maharik saying that one doesn't have to honor one's parents. You have Rashi and Chumash, and the Ramah resurrects the Rashi and Chumash saying, no, you do. And then there's two possible understandings as why one would have to. You have the Bach, the idea is that the Bach is because the father is, a grandfather is considered like a parent, and you have the Seich Chemed saying because the grandfather is an outgrowth of honoring one's parent. Fine. If we have one more look at our page here, so you'll notice as well, there's a commentary called the Pischei Tshuva. Right under the Chidushei Rabbi Akiva Eger and above the Gilyan Maharsha is something called the Pischei Tshuva. Pischei Tshuva was written, I forget the name of who wrote it, but he wrote it later, in the late 1800s, as he contains the Tshuvos that kind of are written about this topic post Shulchan Aruch, post most of the commentators on the Shulchan Aruch. So he'll quote the Chassam Sofer, he'll quote the Noda B'Yehuda, he'll quote people of that generation. Quote people of that ilk. So here he'll summarize them very quickly. The godless, the greatness of Pischei Tshuva is that he'll quote a 4-page Noda B'Yehuda in a line and a half, and like you got it, like you got what you need to know with regards to that Noda B'Yehuda. You have to look it up, but still. So Ayin B'Shas B'Sota Daf Mem Tesam and Beis the Isa Sham Atu Baruch Ana Bar Bartecha Ana. Right, I'm like the son of one is talking about the son, one is talking about I'm the grandson, therefore I don't have to worry about it. And Rashi says what he says, and also look at Makos, which is what we just quoted, and look at Rashi over there, and then he continues on to the other side here, Vayim B'tshuvah She'iris Yosef, U'sefer Imri Shefer, and look at the Tov Shalos Tshuvah Me'ava. Look at the Tshuva Me'ava. So I don't have an access to the Tshuva. Maybe I do by computer. But in the Minchas Asher, he quotes the question of the Tshuva Me'ava. And the Tshuva Me'ava asks something. And by the way, you have a whole shiur right there, right? Pischei Tshuva, it's pretty much, that just laid out the sources for the entire shiur that we've given so far for the last 20 minutes. So the Tshuva Me'ava asks the following question. He says, a person is not obligated to honor one's father. I'm in the wrong place here. There we go. That there is another Gemara in Maseches Kedushin that asks, what if you're both your parent? You have a non-mitzvah to honor your father, you have a mitzvah to honor your mother. What if they both ask you for something at the same time? Mm-hmm. They both ask you for a drink. So what do you do? So the Gemara says that one is required to honor, you should give it to your father before the mother, because you have an obligation to honor your father, just as you have an obligation to honor your mother. But your mother also has a mitzvah to honor one's father. By the way, where does that come from? It's unclear to me where exactly that comes from. The Rashi doesn't make a comment there. The Rishonim don't make a comment there. The Rambam, there's a famous Rambam which they give all the brides to read before they get married. I have to treat your husband like a king, and you should treat him nicely and honor him, etc. There's also a flip side Rambam that the husband is supposed to so the husband is supposed to treat the wife like a queen, whatever. But that Rambam, so what is the source for that Rambam? So I looked it up. He said they make a source connection to this Gemara, and then says like Venera, like Pashat, right? And it's obvious that that's the requirement. So what exactly, where does that come from? So a little unclear to me right now. Maybe we'll do that another time. But anyways, the Gemara says that you should give it to the mother, you give it to the father, plus the mother is also obligated to honor the father as well. The Gemara then comes back and says, what about if they're separated? Gemara says you put it in the middle and you quack like a duck or something. You quack like a chicken. So the Gemara, that's an example where the boy, some person who asked the question was asking, he was an orphan. So he was asking the questions, so they're making fun of him. Why are you asking these questions that have nothing to do with reality? So there's a little bit of a problem with that because, I don't know, half the Gemara seems to be questions that don't have much to do with, you know, Lemaisa issues. So why that is, maybe there is an answer to that question. We'll save that for another time. But anyways, so what is that? What's going on here? So because one honor is supposed to honor the mother, because the mother is supposed to honor the father, you give to the father over the mother. As to Tshuva Me'ava, if that's the case, one should honor your grandfather before your father, because your father is obligated to honor his father. So shouldn't it be the same thing? So the Shulam Yava says, therefore I pass in like the Maharik. Therefore, I pass him like the Ma'arik, that it must be that there's no mitzvah in honoring one's grandfather, otherwise it would throw the equation off. So Milchus Asher here has a long analysis, but at the end he concludes by saying it's not necessarily the case. It could be that your requirement to honor your father is a 8, and your requirement to honor your grandfather is a 2, and your father's requirement to honor his father is a 4 or something, and the math just doesn't add up, right? Right? That your personal requirement to honor your father is more than the double whammy of you honoring your grandfather and your father honoring his father, etc. Okay, anyways, that's my answer. But then he quotes one more interesting tshuva here, which we can discuss very briefly. I assume somebody's coming in shortly. And there was a shaila asked to Rav Moshe in Simon in Yoredeya Simon Aleph Yoredeya Chelik Aleph Simon Reishin and Hay, and that is a woman is in a velus for her parents for the year. Right, so she's sitting Shiva for the year. Now, by the way, why does one sit Shiva for the year? So most of the halachos of Avelis, there's Shiva and there's Shlushim. And the halachos for the year for one's parent is because it says, and the minhag is to extend Shlushim to the whole year for one's parent. That's really, so most of the shailas that one gets about the year, it's really the same as Shlushim. The only distinction, which is a very conspicuous difference, is cutting one's hair. Right? You don't have to cut your hair. You're allowed to cut your hair over the course of the year. The question is maybe you shouldn't do it as often, whatever. But that's the most conspicuous thing. But all the halachas about where one's permitted to go, so it's really the same as Shloshim versus the rest of the year with regards to a parent. So the question was, the woman is in avelus for one's parent, and her husband is getting honored at a dinner. And the husband says, you know, I want you to come. She says, well, I'm in avelus for my father. Now, by the way, is one not really not allowed to go to a dinner if one is in avelus? That's question in its own right. But assuming that one is not permitted to go, so she says, but I'm so the husband says, yeah, but you're obligated to honor me more than you are obligated to honor your parents. And in fact, that is the very top halacha on your page in Shulchan Aruch that I gave you, where it says, Echad Ish Vechad Ish Hashem Mechabunu Mora Shel Av, that the father and mother are both required in the obligation of their parents, but the woman might not have the ability to do it because she has to serve her husband before he serves her parents. The Shach says, however, if the husband is mochel, so then he's mochel. But here it points out, Rav Moshe, he's not being mochel. Right? So says Rav Moshe, the woman would go to the dinner with her husband despite the fact that she's in a year of avelus, because her requirement to honor her husband takes precedence over her requirement to honor her father. Now Rav Moshe says, I'm not so sure, but I know in this situation there's an issue of shalom bayis. I mean, the very fact that she's asking the question means that her husband is not happy about this. Her husband really wants her to come, and therefore says Rav Moshe, that she can go. So the Minchas Asher raises a question with this tshuva, and he says, hold on a minute, because yes, it's true. Why is it that one is required to honor one's parents for Yud Beis Chodesh for the 12 months? Where does that idea come from? So it's true. That idea comes from Kibud Av Ve'Aim. That's actually Beferish. That because of the mitzvah of Kibud Av Ve'Aim, there is a that's why we extend Shiva for the entire year. In fact, the Shach over there in Simin Shin Mem Dalet, which has often spelled out as Shin Dalet Mem, but Shmad is destruction, that's a persecution. Shmad is, right? So it's usually spelled as Shin Dalet Mem. But in that Simin, the Shach comments that if the parent wants to be mochel their child sitting Shiva, being an Avelus for the year, they are permitted to do so. I have heard of a specific God, I'm not sure, I won't mention their name, but before their, he's a specific Rosh Hashiva, he goes to weddings, you know, 2-3 times, all the time he didn't get married. And before they passed away, his father passed away, the father told him, saying, you're a big rabbi, your big Rosh Hashiva, and many of your Tamina will be disappointed if you don't go to their wedding. I'm mochel on the Yud Beis Chodesh. I've heard such thing happen. I never was able to confirm it. So ask the Minchas Asher. He says, hold on a second. It could be that the mitzvah of Yud Beis Chodesh is based on Kibud Av Ve'Aim. And it also could be that the parent has the ability to be mochel on the Kibud Av Ve'Aim and not do the Yud Beis Chodesh. But the Minchas Asher says, but once they weren't mochel, who says that the keeping of the Avelus is Kibud Av Ve'Aim? I mean, it could be that it's based on Kibud Av Ve'Aim, but once you enter into the realm of Avelus, of mourning, so then it's the mitzvahs of mourning, and we disregard the mitzvah of Kibud Av Ve'Aim. I mean, that might be the source for the custom, that might be the reason for the custom, but once you're doing it regardless of the mitzvahs of Kibud Av Ve'Aim. And therefore the Minchas Asher, Rav Asher Weiss, paskins to be machi, says, you know, I don't want to go against Rav Asher, but that's the way I see the halacha, I don't think that I disagree. And he quotes somebody else, Shal Shuvas Chaim Sha'al, who I don't know who that is, who has a similar question of the husband, a little different, but the husband invited, had a bris, the woman was in Avelus for the year, and the husband, and they had a baby boy born during the year. So the husband wants to have a bris. Now he doesn't want to have a bris, but he wants to have a band at the bris. And without telling the wife, he invites the band for the bris. So now the wife's got a problem. Am I allowed to go to the bris when there's music being played? Right? So he passed in Lakula also based on this idea that certainly your father would be mocha, the keeping of your husband happy takes precedence over the mitzvahs, but the Minchas Asher concludes by saying, I'm not so sure that's correct. It could very well be that the mitzvahs of Avelus, even though it might find its sources in Kibud Av Ve'Aim, still once you enter into those halachos, the halachos take over and it kind of outweighs the Kibud Av Ve'Aim. That's a question that is left open. So anyways, that's the first Rashi on this parak. It's of honoring one's grandfather. Is one required to or not required to? It seems like Lamaisa, we pass it like the Ramah. The Ramah says, quotes the Ma'arik, and then says, but I think I'm right. So it seems like that's the way we pass it. There is a mitzvah of honoring one's grandparents. And for those grandparents in the room, so that's very good news.
How about the